thinking big thoughts, so you don't have to.
Well, thank you.
Here's John Williams.
Thank you, lass. Did that sound Irish? It's 108. This is John. We're in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue. We're here until 3 o'clock, don't you know? That sounded Minnesotan. Anyway, I'm here till 3, and then on Saturdays from 10 a.m. till 12 noon on social media. Follow and like me, please. I'm WGN King John. WGN King John. We've posted to the top of my Facebook page the video of me dancing, getting ready for the Dancing with Chicago Celebrities event, which takes place this evening at the Hilton, downtown Chicago. 700 people will watch me dance to raise money for 3 cancer charities in the Chicago area. I'm thrilled to be doing it. I don't think I'm going to win, but I'm in the competition to raise the most money, and that's the object of the game. And while I was in first place earlier, I'm now in about third or fourth place, but just a few $100 back. I'm pleading with you to, if you've thought about giving to a cancer-related charity that stays locally, to go to my Facebook page, WGN King John, make a donation there. It'll do good, and it'll do good in this area. And since I ain't going to win the thing for my dancing, I'd like to see if I can't make the most money for these good people. Thank you to Arthur Murray Chicago for patiently teaching me how to do a quick step over the last couple of months. Hey, listen, here's just a quick update on the students who did the student walkout, right? So students across the nation walked out to protest gun violence. This is from the CBS site, but you heard a story like this here. More than 1,000 students in West Suburban Downers Grove were given a detention this week after they walked out. The superintendent said 1,100 students took part in the protest on Wednesday. This is the interesting part. He said, "Our students take great pride in standing up for what they believe in. Many feel that a detention for leaving class is a small price to exercise their rights and draw attention to their cause. When several of our student leaders heard that some schools were not assigning consequences, they shared with administration they didn't feel this was a good idea. Students believe that in order to be taken seriously, they should show that they are committed enough to receive a consequence." This is exactly the point Violetta was making a couple of days ago, as I recall.
Yes.
What's the point if you don't punish us? In fact, you need to punish us, and then we need to go serve the punishment. In Hinsdale, Township High School District 86 officials told students they would be punished on a case-by-case basis. They have to keep students safe. They can't if you leave the campus, and that's why you're being punished, not for your political views, but because it's a safety issue. Now, at Simeon High School in Chicago, listen to this. From Fox 32, I watched the video. Chicago police are trying to identify the dozens of students from Simeon Career Academy who they say took part in a vandalism spree while they were supposed to be protesting guns. Shoppers and store employees were stunned by the destruction Wednesday morning at the Walmart in Chatham Market on the south side. Chicago police say that it started when students at neighboring Simeon Career Academy were allowed to leave the school for 17 minutes to take part in the protest. Police say between 40 and 60 of those students crossed the street, went over and trashed the Walmart. They knocked over product displays, yanked items off the shelves, they broke packages, they stole small items like chips and candy. Ward Alderman Howard Brookins, over there in the 21st, was instrumental in getting big box retailers to move to the south side. He said, "We worked hard to get these national retailers here in our community. This doesn't help." The cops say they have, quote unquote, high quality video from the store. I've watched it. It was just like a mob of kids just roaming around, trashing the place, taking stuff. Good grief. Here's what Simeon needs to do. They need to have the whole school, or get volunteers, and it better be 1,000 of them, to go over to Walmart and sweep the parking lot and clean the toilets. And I don't know what Walmart needs. I don't know if they have a lawn. I don't know if they have a common area. But they need to volunteer to clean up and fix it for Walmart. The school needs to do that. The student council needs to do that. I don't care if the students were in the group or not. If they get the kids that were, fine. They're going to be charged with misdemeanors anyway. But
just to clear their name.
Absolutely, because this is a mark on Simeon. And by the way, Brookins is absolutely right. I was talking to a friend of mine this morning who spends a lot of time in that part of the city. What is it, like 81st or 87th and the Dan Ryan? It's that far south. And that is an area where there are no stores. I can walk to three grocery stores from my house. I can walk to three awesome grocery stores from my house. These people sometimes can't walk to one. They might find a 7-Eleven. They might find a barricaded shop where somebody is selling bananas and chips. Really, it's like that. So to convince a Walmart or a Jewel, you know, a Costco, good Lord, to come into that area is very, very difficult. You know, will the money be spent? Is there a security issue? Blah, blah, blah. And so then the store, so you get yourself a Walmart in your neighborhood, and by golly, you've got yourself something. And then they go over and trash the damn thing. You think that makes Walmart want to put more stores in blighted areas? So they need to step up. They need to step up at Simeon. Whoever's in charge over there, the student council, the principal, the mom and dad's club, somebody's got to get those kids and say, we are going to go clean the Walmart toilets. Son, here's your toothbrush. And we're going to rake the parking lot. We're going to do a Saturday show. We are all imposing a detention on ourselves for the behavior of the students at Simeon. That's what they need to do. Downers Grove is begging for a detention. Downers Grove said, come on, come on, come on, punish us.
We're said, being bad.
I know.
We left class.
Being bad over here. Hello. Don't you hate it when you're trying to do something to get attention and you don't get in trouble for it? Simeon doesn't have that problem at all. They need to get in trouble. They need to volunteer for punishment, too. 1,100 detentions in Downers Grove. What good does that do them now? Do they have enough study halls for 1,100 students? How many Saturdays do they got to get somebody to sit with them? I don't know how they're going to execute that.
They could take them all in the gym.
But I guess so, right. Just sit in the gym for an hour. And besides, the students asked for it. In a way, it's strikes me as not strong leadership by the school if they're letting the students call all of the shots, including the penalty phase, right? They should have known what was going to happen and what they were going to do and what their response was. You don't negotiate with students. If they do or don't want a penalty, it's not their call, right? It's not the student's decision to make.
Right. But, I mean, sometimes you have to play it by ear. It depends on the severity of the walkout. Like, for instance, at Simeon, it was more than just a walkout. It was vandalism and turned into a mob.
Yeah, Simeon is, that's embarrassing.
So, I mean, you have to see how the kids are going to react if they just walked out peacefully and did what, you know, they were expected to do.
I can see the plight of the principal at the school. You know, he goes, all right, well, we don't want you to walk out, but you're walking out fine. Then the kids come in and go, okay, now we want to be punished. What? Are you kidding me? I said you could walk out. Now you want me to punish you for letting you do what you just asked me to let you do? This is not why I went to grad school. Dave, you're on WGN. What did you want to say? Hi.
Hey, John. Welcome to the world. I agree with you 100% wholeheartedly that the kids at Simeon should step up and have some restitution for their, not only for their own school, but for themselves as a student body.
Yeah.
The problem that I'm looking at is that, you know, a lot of people turn around and a lot of the schools turn around and complain that the kids today don't stand up for, you know, what's going on. And yet when they do, then they're punished.
Yeah.
My reaction to it is very simple. My youngster gets called out for detention. Guess who's going to be sitting next to him or her in detention at the same time? I would be so so darn proud.
Yeah.
The fact that they would step out and use their constitutional right, no matter where it is, to make a statement. And, you know, same deal with the guys putting their knee down. It's the same deal. It's not against the flag. It's not against the country. It's against the way things are going.
That's well put. I appreciate your phone call, Dave, and it sounds like you're raising those kids right. This texter said, hey, John, I'm the proud parent of a senior who walked out at Downers North Wednesday. Kids from the local middle school walked out, too. The elementary school kids gave up their recess, which started at 10, to stand silently with their heads bowed at the grade school. This is not the sort of thing grade schoolers should have to deal with.
Wow, that gave me goosebumps.
John, their parents did not raise them right in Chatham. No big deal. Not the kids' fault. Just decades of Democratic coddling. Well, thank you for turning that into politics. John, I agree with Downers Grove. I commend the students for standing up for what they believe in. From 219, unfortunately, this is what some kids have learned. That's what protesting is. That's what I'm wondering. If the kids, you know, like sometimes protests break out, and what you do then is you turn over taxi cabs and set them on fire, even though it's not the taxi cab's fault. Sometimes when hockey teams win championships, Kevin, you can comment on this. When hockey teams win championships, what do? You vandalize the downtown.
My God, look what happened to Philadelphia after the Super Bowl.
I don't remember what happened to Philadelphia.
They were trashing their entire city. They were jumping over on awnings outside hotels and tearing them down. And
that's right.
The police were doing everything possible to slow them down. And they were greasing light poles so people couldn't climb them and tear them down.
Really?
I never really understood that. Why would you trash your own city after a championship? But I guess people just get a little carried away.
It's 119. By the way, Kevin, of 16 teams in his brackets, has how many correctly picked?
14 so far. 14 of 16.
Violetta has...
12.
I have 10, but that's because I was rooting with my...
Just because you don't have to make excuses.
It was because my brackets were bad. End of story.
You're doing points here now? Violetta has what, 10?
I have 12.
She got 12 of 16. Yeah. I got 10 of 16. Kevin's got 14. Did you do brackets, Steve?
Yeah, I'm really doing badly.
What do you got?
18? No, I have 11.
11's bad.
Yeah, it's really bad.
It was mostly chalk yesterday. There was two upsets, but other than that, it was the favorites.
Yeah, as Violetta said, the smaller numbers are better.
If
you just use the Violetta logic, smaller numbers are good. The lower seeds have a better chance than the higher seeds. Hello! Suddenly you're smarter than Charles Barkley, who has Arizona in his final four. I think, in fact, he may have the final two or winning it.
Sometimes passion beats numbers.
Logic.
No, logic beats passion here. That's what got me in trouble. Sometimes my dad would come home and Mom would have slices of pepperoni with Triscuits waiting for him. And they would have their martinis in the living room before dinner. And they would sit there and have their martinis, and we'd be running around the yard. But you'd kind of wander in and go, hey,
can I get a Triscuit?
What's that on the little coffee table there? Pepperoni? Hoo-wee. I would like some pepperoni. Johnny, go outside and play. Your father and I are talking. I'm like, all right, but you're having some pepperoni and Triscuits, and I haven't had much since lunch. And you'd ask for the olive or the cherry, depending on the appropriate drink they were having.
Were there deviled eggs?
No.
There were not deviled eggs.
Mini pickles?
This was just a little happy hour that Mom and Dad would have sometimes before dinner. Yeah. So I don't know that
deviled eggs and
pickles. Oh, yeah.
I want deviled eggs now.
I want a Manhattan.
That was actually me not that long ago. When my dad was here in September, he was drinking a martini with an olive in it. And I said, Dad, can I have your olive, please? And he goes, sure.
Really, I know. That's one of the joys of having these sort of adult beverages is at the end, the cherry or the olive, whatever you've got in there, is just so soaked with the juice of it. It's the best olive or cherry.
It's basically a great appetizer.
It is. It's just a little nightcap is what it is because the thing is pretty soaked.
But it's the blue cheese olives. Oh.
Yeah. I'm an old-fashioned guy. That is not the drink. I just like the pimento. I like the green olive with the red pimento.
Big olive guy.
Yeah. Is the Knarble wagon ready to roll here?
Yeah, we need it.
By the way, Ro actually rolls a wagon into the studio with cocktails on it, right? That's a real thing.
That's a real thing, but one of the wheels is breaking down. I think we need a new Knarble wagon.
Too much booze on it, yeah. New little WD-40.
Yeah, a little
It stays in his office, John, if you ever want to take a closer look at it.
You know, it's truly, listen, before, I used to listen to Ro like a lot of us on other stations over the years, and I'd hear the Knarble wagon bit, and I thought, they don't really have a thing. Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
They really do.
A fully stocked bar.
And I'm so envious of it. My day part doesn't support it. What am I going to do, a coffee bar? It's 1:26 in the afternoon.
You could have an espresso bar, yeah.
That'd be cool. Yeah.
Let's have a barista.
I don't want to. Taking care of yourself and your family is no easy task. Riverside Healthcare, actually, that doesn't sound like a bad idea. If we had somebody standing here with a latte, kind of a mid-afternoon pick-me-up, that wouldn't be so bad.
Yeah, they can make little flowers in your foam. And then you could even ask for maybe a little Bailey's on the side.
You know, that's kind of where I'm leaning. Riverside Healthcare can help if you want to take care of your family and not do what we're describing here. With a variety of primary and specialty care providers, Riverside has just the right help for you, the kids, the whole family. They've got a dozen locations, including the newest campus in Frankfurt. Getting the right care at the right place and time is going to make your life a lot easier. Learn more about the nationally recognized Riverside Healthcare at riversidehealthcare.org. Riverside Healthcare is putting well within reach. Hey, I didn't mention this. I meant to, but just we've been talking education and basketball. Loyola. As you know, Sister Jean hit about a 24-foot jump shot yesterday. Loyola was down one. They win by two. What a great shot. What a great team. What a great story. It's why you love college basketball.
Only begun. Here we go.
You just said we.
Yeah.
Whose team are you on?
I'm on the Loyola team.
Steve's a Loyola Rambler now.
Better take that Marquette sweater off.
It's 120. Yeah, he's wearing one. It's 127. We'll pause here. Let's update you in the news in 2 minutes. Afterwards, we'll visit with two of the three candidates whose names will appear on the ballot for Cook County Assessor, which is really boring, except for this year. We'll play the ad that an opponent is running against one of them and let them respond. Cook County Assessor's Office, three people are running for that. One is the incumbent, Joe Berrios. Another is a woman named Andrea Arela, and another one is this guy named Fritz Kagi. Fritz Kagi has the endorsement of the Chicago Tribune. We invited Joe Berrios to come on our show again. We've asked him many times. He declined to come on again today. Here is how the Tribune on page one writes about what's been happening with the assessor's office. This is Jason Grotto once again from ProPublica, and he begins his story with this. In the first effort to measure the cost of Cook County's error-ridden assessment system under Assessor Joe Berrios, a new study estimates that at least $2.2 billion in property taxes was shifted from undervalued Chicago homes onto overvalued ones between 2011 and 15. Because the county's assessment system is skewed in favor of high-priced homes, the errors amount to a staggering transfer of wealth that benefited Chicago's most affluent homeowners at the expense of people who own lower-priced homes. Joe Berrios disagrees with that, but that is the narrative, and ProPublica and the Tribune have been on it for a while. I'm going to predict that Jason Grotto is going to win a Pulitzer Prize for his reporting on this. It's been comprehensive, it's been long-running, and it's amazing to me how disinterested Joe Berrios is in talking about this with the Tribune or us. But now Joe Berrios is running an ad. Okay, here's 25 seconds of the ad that Joe Berrios is running, and the person that it is attacking is the person that the Chicago Tribune is endorsing for his office, that Fritz Kagi.
To stop the NRA, follow the money. Banker Fritz Kagi's firm invested heavily in this NRA donor's company. Kagi got rich, and the NRA got millions to spend blocking gun control. Now Kagi's spending his fortune calling himself progressive. But Kagi puts profits over people. Joe Berrios stood up to the NRA, writing the landmark law outlawing guns in schools, and is fighting to ban assault weapons. Joe Berrios, the Democrats' assessor.
We're not charging you for that one, Mr. Berrios. So the notion in the commercial is that Kagi's firm, and Eric Zorn wrote well about this today. This is the sort of thing nobody's better at unpacking than Eric Zorn. But he points out Kagi's firm, and the graphic you see on the screen, you didn't hear it on the radio just now, is Columbia Wagner Asset Management. That's Kagi's firm. Kagi's firm, Columbia, invested in a company called Clayton Williams Energy. And Clayton Williams Energy donates to the NRA. Therefore, Kagi, from his company, investing in that other company, which made a donation. Therefore, Kagi is in bed with the NRA and is putting profits ahead of safety in his run for Cook County Assessor. So we are letting the politicians who are attacked in ads respond to the ads. Fritz Kagi now joins us here on WGN. Fritz, it's John Williams. Thanks for taking our call. How are you?
Hey, John. Thanks for giving me the time to speak to your listeners.
I just want to do it I did for Chris Kennedy and for Dan Lipinski, for anybody else that is particularly skewered by some of these ads, which seem to be really damning, we want to hear the other side. So, Elif, let's just play track one. This is the first charge against you in that ad.
To stop the NRA, follow the money. Banker Fritz Kagi's firm invested heavily in this NRA donor's company. Kagi got rich.
Did you get rich off that donation, and did you invest in that company?
Well, we did invest in the company, but it's actually another shareholder in the company that supported the NRA. So it's sort of akin to, you know, we're driving on the highway right now and accusing me because we're driving on the same highway with someone else who did something bad of whatever that person did. It's a ludicrous charge, but it's very telling about the Joe Berrios because, you know, not only is he, first of all, I just like to make clear, I don't support the NRA. I've never given money to the NRA. They've never given money to me. I support common sense gun control in many different ways, and we should be doing all sorts of things to stop gun violence and the sale of guns. But also, how interesting that the assessor's office, which has nothing to do with guns, is all that he has as his closing argument. He's trying to talk about something that he voted for 35 years ago in an effort to distract and really deceive people about his terrible oversight of our assessment system, which has been so corrupt, which has generated so much economic damage, and has really infected our politics as well.
Yeah, I understand how ridiculous it is that we're talking about gun violence with somebody running for assessor in Cook County, but I didn't write the ad. We're watching it, so you know why I've called you. And
yeah.
And to that end, I just want to play this. I think is 1A, Elif. Just this is the meat on the hook on this one. Go ahead.
Banker Fritz Kagi's firm invested heavily in this NRA donor's company.
So your firm invested in another firm that donated to the NRA, and then by the way,
the shareholder that donated to the NRA.
Wait.
Myself, I don't believe it.
But I mean, that was your. I'm just trying to see.
It's a ridiculous charge.
I know. All right, I'll stop trying to make sense out of this. All right, but
we should be talking about. First of all, you know, there's no substance to it. But let's remind people that this is an effort to distract from the legacy of failure in the assessor's office, and I think that's the thing that's most important for the voters to know. That's why we have so many endorsements from six members of Congress, from all the leading progressive organizations. Who have endorsed in this race, like IBI, IPO, MoveOn.org, Democracy for America, Our Revolution, which is Bernie Sanders' organization. All of these organizations are with us because we have a great plan to fix our assessment system.
All right, I'll skip part two of the ad and go to part three. Here's just another charge in the ad.
Now Kagi's spending his fortune calling himself progressive, but Kagi puts profits over people.
Profits over people. So, you know, here's what I don't understand, though. Just humor me for a second. How is it that you ostensibly made money? If you guys invested in a firm that gave money to the NRA, how does that make you rich?
No connection. And actually, as soon as I took over the Acorn Fund, we sold our investment in this company. So it didn't. This one didn't make us rich. We have I manage the Acorn Fund, which is well known as a very widely respected mutual fund company. I'm proud to have been successful in my work, but we did not get rich off this investment, and we did not get rich off investing in bad companies because we focused on investing for the long term. And if you become an investor with a long term orientation, focus on investing with companies that you want to be partnered with that have a beneficial impact, because companies that do bad things end up being bad businesses.
Eric Zorn pointed out then that while Joe Berrios in the ad later says that he wrote landmark legislation to reform school law and guns, nobody seems to know what the heck he's talking about. So I'll let that go.
It's a ludicrous. I mean, even if it was true, which there's actually no evidence for, it was 35 years ago. It has nothing to do with the assessment system. And that is his closing argument in an effort to distract from his legacy of corruption and failure and the economic.
Well, as a guy who is running, Fritz, as a guy who is running a mutual fund, how does that, I know it's numbers, I know it's finances, but how does that translate to the assessor's office? Why does that make you a good assessor?
When you manage a mutual fund, you are a steward over people's assets, and you're valuing cut your valuing assets, including real estate investment trusts. Real estate investment trusts are largely the owners of downtown corporate properties, and they are, and properties are valued in the context of the cash flows that they generate, and also in the context for how other assets are valued. And it's extremely important to know that. That's why downtown commercial properties are underassessed, because our assessor has used a very flawed methodology to undervalue them by more than 50%, really as an excuse to cover up for the fact that these
Well, do you know how you would assess the owners are his main donors? Fritz, do you know how you would change the assessment? Literally, do you have a plan or a computer program in mind?
Yeah, the great thing is that this is an executive office. So first of all, we're not going to be taking donations from property tax appeals lawyers that have corrupted the process. Second of all, we're committed to transparency, to tell people how valuations have been calculated for the first time and how your assessments are calculated. Third of all, we're going to run the better model that's available that was developed by Chris Berry at the University of Chicago and Bob Weisbord that's more accurate and less regressive. It takes the regressivity out of the system. We're also committed to improving upon that model. We've met with them, and they've told us that it can be improved upon by taking into account the effect of foreclosures and short sales and vacancies on selling prices in neighborhoods that have been hit by the housing crisis on the south and west sides of the county. Lastly, we're committed to valuing downtown corporate properties according to how modern investors look at them, and that will cause them to be paying their fair share, and we won't be having to pay Donald Trump's property taxes anymore when he gets these giant abatements on Trump Tower.
Fritz Kagi is from Oak Park, running for assessor. The primary is Tuesday. Fritz, we appreciate your time on the radio this afternoon.
Great. Thanks, John. Appreciate it.
So this texter says, hey, John, in other words, if you support the Second Amendment, then you're bad. Listen, pro or con on the Second Amendment, or pro and con on school guns, or say, I don't, you know, whatever the gun issue is that Joe Berrios is talking about in this ad, support of the NRA is irrelevant. It's like voting on the governor's race and one candidate likes chocolate ice cream and the other likes strawberry ice cream. It's not something that the assessor's office touches. And you saw how tangential, I think, the connection from Fritz Kagi is to gun issues. And even if he was radical gun left or right, he wouldn't get a chance to execute any change because he'll be the assessor. He'll be the assessor if he wins. To be honest with you, my guess is, if you put a gun to my head, as they say, that the incumbents have such an advantage in this county, in this town.
Well, Berrios is the county chairman of the party, too.
He's got,
which is what makes it even a more fascinating race.
He has so many advantages that Berrios can run this lunatic ad and have an advantage. Listen, you know who I think has an advantage is Pat Quinn. Pat Quinn. I thought Pat Quinn comes on TV and you go, oh, Pat Quinn. I know that guy. And then you get in the booth and you go, Pat Quinn. And you check Pat Quinn. What's he running for? Pat Quinn. That's what you do. That's what happens. Pat Quinn, I think if you said who's going to win attorney general, I'd say Pat Quinn. That's my guess. I'm not rooting for him. I'm not rooting against him. I really like Pat Quinn, but I'm in love with Kwame Raoul because this is his life's work. I just think the familiarity and incumbency factor are gigantic.
You are such a sucker for TV ads.
Oh, I totally am. If you want, I am the Donald Trump of voting. The last person to talk to me gets my vote. That's what they say with Trump. If you really want to get him to favor your view, be the last person on the way out and just go, hey, guns are good. Okay, and then guns are good. Whatever it is.
He'd be like, I don't know why I'm thinking this, but guns are good.
I know. Where did I hear that? Guns are good. That's what happens.
People are saying. The last person that talked to me.
I know. That's what it is. Maybe that's why he does that. Although, you know, a lot of people are saying, and by that I mean on the way out the door, Hope said something. Except Hope's not there anymore. We're without Hope. John, what does the NRA have to do with the Cook County Assessor's Office? You tell me. Listen, we mentioned that Andrea Rayla would join us after the break before the news. In fact, because I only have about 90 seconds left in this segment, I didn't think it would be fair to compact her conversation into the short spot we have here. So I asked Andrea to come on right after the 2 o'clock news. Now, she's a fascinating part of this story, too. So there you have the incumbent, Joel Berrios, who's got every advantage in the world. And then you have this Fritz Kegge guy who has significant endorsements, including the Chicago Tribune. Don't ask me how much that sways voters. He seems to be qualified, and you just heard his voice and attitude, so that's him. But then there's this third person who has been on and off the ballot. People have been told in Cook County, do not vote for Andrea Rayla because that vote won't count. They've literally been told that. And now, literally, they've been told the opposite. That vote will count. And who knows, between now and Tuesday, maybe a panel of judges will decide something different. But she seems to be qualified as well. I mean, she's been working in this business. There's a blemish on her record that we'll ask her about and she needs to address. But she's been in this business of assessments as an attorney for years and knows it inside and out. So maybe she should get your vote. We'll let her sound off a little after the news. And then we'll make a lot more time. And Steve, I know this is your lead story at 2 o'clock. The impact of bowling balls on imports. Now, here's what I understand. That a bowling ball dropped on a car will leave, if it leaves a dent, then that would be a bad car. Do I understand that correctly?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, you do. All right, Aleph, play the audio. This is Sarah Sanders talking about bowling balls dropped on cars.
At this fundraiser yesterday in Missouri, the president talking about a bowling ball test where a bowling ball is dropped from 20 feet in the air on the hood of a car, and if it dents, the car doesn't qualify. And he said, this is horrible. Where did he get this from?
Look, the president's been talking about unfair trade practices for decades. It's not new for him. Part of the reason he was elected was to end unfair trade practices and push for free, fair, and reciprocal trade so American goods can compete in more foreign markets. Obviously, he's joking about this particular test, but it illustrates the creative ways some countries are able to keep American goods out of their markets.
She is so good. She is so good. How about that, huh? The president's either lying, hallucinating, or telling a joke without a smile that nobody gets. Sometimes when you tell a joke and nobody laughs, you go, hey, I'm joking here. Come on, that was a funny thing. That's not policy, it's a joke. What's the matter with you people? Lighten up already. What are you, a bunch of Democrats? But he doesn't do that. Then she just sweeps it all up and carries it away.
Thinking big thoughts, so you don't have to.
We will follow.
Here's John Williams.
Those all-important NCAA Buckleball games. Through the afternoon, that is until 3 o'clock. Roe's not going to be on it, but I don't know if you heard about it. Actually, I think what they've decided is that Roe violated so many laws and FCC regulations on his show yesterday that we're just going to run some exhibition baseball until we figure out what to do with him.
He's not allowed to be on during basketball anymore?
I believe there's a rule about not using the broadcast without the express written permission of somebody. And
everything was hypothetical.
We straddled that line yesterday.
Everything was hypothetical or
supposed,
theoretical. And if it had happened.
But it was good because I didn't know what was happening. And I did listening to WGN yesterday. And oh my God, was that fun. We'll keep you posted on the NCAA brackets as they play out this afternoon, at least until 3. Two quick texts. Hey, John, being against the NRA does not necessarily mean you're against the Second Amendment. I agree with that. By the way, we're talking about that because of the Cook County Assessor's Office. Details to come. And John, I heard about that bowling ball test the president is talking about in passing earlier this morning and caught only part of it. I thought it was a late night gag. Now you tell me this is real? Oh my God, said somebody from 269. Well, Sarah Sanders said that the president was kidding. It's hard to tell. So in the editorial in today's Chicago Tribune, back to the assessor's office for just a minute, they write this. Chicago tax attorney Andrea Rayla collected signatures and filed paperwork last fall to run for Cook County Assessor. But due to Illinois' Byzantine candidate filing process, she has been bounced on and off the ballot for months. It's wrong for Rayla, wrong for voters. Due to the uncertainty of her candidacy, she has not been able to campaign. She hasn't been able to raise money. She hasn't been invited to candidate forums. And now, following a First District Illinois appellate court ruling, she is officially back in the race unless more judges intervene. This, even though election officials in Cook County and Chicago have been warning voters for weeks that votes cast for her would not count. You got that? What a messed up system. Andrea Rayla joins us now on WGN. Andrea, it's John Williams. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
And by the way, am I saying your name correctly? It's Andrea, not Andrea?
Yes, it's Andrea, but I'll come to Andrea Rayla.
You're a tax attorney in Chicago, so you're kind of for clients following up on assessments, valuations, and trying to get them the appropriate number. That's been your career, right?
Well, let me correct you on that. Actually, I'm a property tax consultant and homeowner advocate. I am not an attorney. My sister is an attorney, and we have I've run a business under Andrew Rayla, property tax consultants, for 25 years, helping homeowners adjust their taxes and to get income from lost homeowner exemptions and refunds.
The newspaper said you put $100,000 of your own money into this campaign. Is that right?
Well, yes, I am partly self-funded, but I certainly raised a lot of funds from a lot of people, a broad spectrum from the north to the south of Cook County that gave me $10, $20, $100, and some of those that you don't have to actually file at the State Board of Elections. So people can't see that I've gotten money from at least 300 or 400 people, but it's in small amounts.
I'm just trying to point out the task that you're up against, because Joe Berrios has a couple $1 million in his campaign.
And so does Kagi. They both have large campaign finance coffers, but in the end, it's the way you reach out to your people, and you'll have I have a large group support, and I have for the last 30 years that I've been doing work for taxpayers. Taxpayers know me from as far as Barrington and Palatine to down to Flossmoor and Country Club Hills and out west to Markham. They know my name because I've been the only taxpayer advocate working for 30 years trying to make sure that this property tax system is correct and fair and it works for people that the other two men have never really advocated for, adjusting these taxes. They're so grossly unfair, and they overassess minority neighborhoods compared to the wealthier neighborhoods.
Yeah. The profile in the paper today says this. In 2011, the Tribune reported that you were receiving a homeowner's exemption on a second Chicago condominium to which you were not entitled. That saved you more than $8,000 in tax payments over a decade. They say at the time, she said she did not know that she was getting two homestead exemptions. Talk to me about that.
Well, I think that the political system, that the property tax exemptions have been politicized, and the same fingers were pointed at Jui Garcia, at Governor Rauner, at Maria Pappas, that all these elected officials and many, many homeowners had these double exemptions, and it was a problem, and it's been adjusted with a new law. But I have been the only candidate out there arguing that we need to have exemptions that help veterans stay on the tax rolls. Do you know there are 435 veterans who are listed now in the tax delinquent papers? If by May 4th they don't pay their taxes, they lose their taxes. We need to expand these exemptions so that they can keep people who are marginalized and can't deal with their high property taxes to hang on to their homes, especially seniors. Senior citizens are now made to apply for their homeowner's exemption and their senior exemption every single year. That should be stopped. Seniors should apply one time for their senior exemption. They don't get any younger, right? They should apply one time and get that senior exemption. Right now, a lot of exemptions are falling off because seniors can't remember to apply each year, and they are owed hundreds of thousands of dollars back.
I didn't know that. I think both of those points are good, and I think they're both smart. I want to go back, though, to just your personal situation here, and I don't know that this matters that much, but it seems that if you're going to be the steward of evaluations and payments, shouldn't you know the law, know the rule, know what your situation was, and be paying the right amount?
Absolutely. It's so important to have integrity brought back to the assessor's office.
But this makes it look as though you were... Did you know that you had two exemptions and that you should not have?
Like Chewy Garcia and Maria Pappas, when those exemptions were disclosed, they were paid back. The point is that same exemption law we helped tighten in Springfield. The assessor did not remove exemptions off of homes that sold. And when you sell a home, the exemption should be removed. We changed the law. The assessor must, by law, remove those exemptions so that unknowing taxpayers and homeowners don't get caught up in that erroneous exemption process.
Did you contemplate... Go ahead, finish that thought.
But we need to make the system understandable for average people, and it's not understandable, and that's why you have so many homeowners that have so many erroneous exemptions.
You know, I just wonder, so those of us that are watching the lay of the land here go, all right, you've got the incumbent, all-powerful, great name recognition, and then you have two people running who are arguably qualified for it and should give him a run for his money. The two of you might split that vote, and if the taxpayers of Cook County go, gee, this is time for Joe Berrios to go, you're staying on the ballot, and Fritz is staying on the ballot, are going to make it more difficult for either one of you to win. The question is, did you ever contemplate when you were having these troubles getting your name on or keeping it on the ballot, did you ever contemplate stepping aside, knowing that that gives Fritz a chance to win, but at least it keeps Joe from winning re-election? Did you ever think about going down that road?
Well, I ran in 2010 for the Cook County Assessor's Office. I was not able to stay on the ballot. I didn't have enough signatures. Kagi didn't run in 2010 against Joe Berrios, and Kagi didn't run in 2014 against Joe Berrios. I decided to run in 2018, as did Kagi, and I thought several other people would run. We don't look at the Attorney General's race and say, well, there's seven people there. Let Nancy and the other two women step out of the race. A woman deserves to run for office without political harassment or narrative by the media. And I'm the first woman to run for this office. And it's not just that I'm a woman. I am a person who is very professional, knows about the property tax system, wrote a book that was called The Illinois Property Tax System, Taxation Without Representation. Now, I've heard Kagi say that we need to raise the loop properties and lower the properties on homeowners. He gets it right. We need to lower property taxes on homeowners. That is sure. But the running an office of the assessor's office is very complex. You can't just put in a formula that they talk about, the mass appraisal standard. Mm-hmm. You can't just use an automated model for that on these large loop properties. It's much more complex, and you have to do them individually. You cannot mimic the three traditional approaches to value, cost, sales, and income, and make it all right in the loop. The loop properties have been undervalued. But it's a very complex office. It's an office that requires data collection, geographic data collection, collecting and maintaining property tax data information accurately every year, and overseeing property tax incentive programs. All these departments are highly, highly specialized. And I feel with my background as a Cook County Board of Review case analyst, as an employee with the Harold Washington Administration and the Taxpayer Advocate Office, I understand the complexities of running an administrative office of property tax assessor.
She has been in the trenches, Andrea Rayla, running for Cook County Assessor. The vote is on Tuesday. We heard from Fritz, and Joe Berrios has declined our invitation. Good luck to you, Andrea. I'm glad we heard your voice today. I appreciate you coming on our show this afternoon.
Thank you so much.
Andrea Rayla. By the way, Aleph, can you just give us a bracket update? A lot of folks are following basketball games. They can't follow them all. We are following them for you. Aleph, how they doing?
In the second half, Wichita State is beating Marshall by a score of 70-69.
Wow!
In the second half, Cincinnati is beating Georgia State by a score of 44-43.
Gee, I've got Cincinnati going far.
In the first half, Lipscomb is beating UNC by a score of 23-22.
Steve, that one is sticking. 23-22. Woo! There's an upset.
In the first half, Butler is beating Arkansas by a score of 3-0.
Now, guess what? I just pulled that one up. It's now 10-2. 10-2, Butler is winning.
I'm sorry, John.
10-2 with 16:30. Kevin, I'm about to do what I was yelling at Roe for doing yesterday, and that is a description without the express verbal.
All you have to say is hypothetically speaking.
I'm not so sure about that. Tell that to the judge, Violetta.
Innocent until proven guilty.
Hey, what do you think of that? So they've got, here's what they want to do. Some developers downtown Chicago, we have this beautiful new river walk, which we've developed and continue to improve. It ain't done yet. In fact, now they're going to develop the North Branch. It's amazing the amount of money being poured into the river as it goes from Lake Michigan west.
I mean, not literally poured into the river, but...
Sadly, they were actually pouring money into the river. Somebody said, we got to pour some money into the river. And one of these guys poured money into the river. It was a travesty. So then it goes north and it goes south when you get to the bend there, just past Trump Tower. You go right or left. Left down to the train station, right towards not a lot. But now they're going to put a lot of money there. And Steve, when I say that, I don't mean they're going to put the money up there. Anyway,
no.
So now they've got this river walk, and it's really good. They've got some things to fix. They need to keep it cleaner. They have some security issues. It'd be nice if they had decent food down there. I digress. Now they want to put up a cable car. You get on a cable car along the river, and then you go up, and then on those like a trolley car on the cable, it goes all the way along the river.
Oh, you mean it would be like hanging?
Yeah.
A tram.
Yeah, a tram. And it would go all the way out to Navy Pier.
Cool.
Go over Lakeshore Drive and all the way out to Navy. Navy Pier's half mile long. It would go all the way out there. So you would be able to watch the city, the river, the lake, and you go back and forth. Who's coming with me on this?
I am.
Are you on board? You will, and not only do you like it as a development, but you would take the ride, right?
Oh, definitely. And I like the name too, the Chicago Skyline.
Get it? Here's two problems with it. One is it's a windy city, so sometimes that thing's going to be swooning back and forth.
What's life without a little risk?
If that's the motto too for the Chicago Skyline, what's life
a little string that's holding you up? Yeah,
you're going to die sooner or later anyway. Get on board. That's their motto. The other thing is that it kind of junks up the Riverwalk.
That's the sort of thing. We're going to have that view pretty soon. I don't want to ruin my view.
It's not though. The cars are moving, so just the tram itself is going to be moving occasionally.
You'll
throughout.
Have the pylons that hold the cable up all the way along. Right? Sure you will.
But you have light poles. It's the same thing.
Yeah, I'm not so sure. For instance, when they put up a screen around a ballpark, you don't see the screen. I think at the end of the day, you're going to end up looking past the infrastructure or superstructure that supports this thing. I'm just not so sure that it needs it. Right? Like, what they want to do is get people out to Navy Pier. And getting out to Navy Pier is not easy. You got to go... get in a car.
Well, they've got the cable cars now. Not the those trolleys that go out there now.
Yeah, I guess. This would be a fun way to do it, though. Some of the people downtown along the river say this will hurt our business. No, it won't. It's fine.
You know how they'd give weather warnings?
Yeah.
I have a bracket warning for you.
What's that?
You might want to take shelter. Number 4, Wichita State,
yeah,
is trailing a number 13, Marshall, with a minute 41 left in the game, 78-72.
78-72. 6 points with how much?
A minute 41.
All right. My brackets are getting busted left and right today.
Mine are looking good.
We're watching the brackets. We're watching some fun things to do this weekend. Hey, it's Friday, the eve of St. Patrick's Day. We're also going to do the bright side. You'll call in this half hour. Tell us some good news in your world while you're smiling, and we'll smile with you. Before any of that, LF, a bracket update. We're watching Wichita State.
Marshall is beating Wichita State 80-75 with 34 seconds left in the game.
So it's two possessions now. With 30-some seconds left.
Been a lot of officiating deliberations here.
Say it again, Steve?
There's been a lot of officiating deliberations.
Oh, my God. This is the bane of basketball. It's the bane of all sports, college and pro. So then there's everything is so close, controversial, it's so big right now that everything they got to go over, look at a little screen. Meanwhile, all of America knows what happened. I don't know how it is that our views on laptops and television sets are better than theirs. Maybe because they're in an auditorium and it's not a great way to watch a TV set. But doggone it, they got to figure out a way to keep the flow of these things going. All right, let's play the bumper music in 3, 2, woof. Walk with me. I got nowhere. Fridays at this time, we look for some fun things for you to do over the weekend. What are we listening to here, Ella?
This is some Glenn Hansard. He'll be at Riviera Theater on Sunday.
Glenn Hansard at the Riviera on Saturday.
Sunday.
He was in our studio when Once came out. What a nice guy. Had that same beat-up guitar of his and was delightful. I'll take you walking. Glenn Hansard's in town. All right, Violetta, give us something you want to recommend people do this weekend.
Well, it's St. Patrick's Day. We have the downtown parade going on and the river dyeing. So the river dyeing starting 9 a.m. On the river, obviously, at Columbus Drive to State. So people are going to be lining the streets for that. And then the parade kicks off from Balboa and Columbus at noon.
Here's a recommendation. The 8th annual, I'll just give you a couple of other Irish events over the weekend. The 8th annual Barrington Celtic Fest returns to McGonagall's Pub. And on Park Avenue today and tomorrow, they've got a heated tent at the pub out there at McGonagall's in Barrington. Visit McGonagallsPub.com. The 8th annual Palatine Paints the Town Green. It's a parade, 50 entries. That'll be Saturday at 10 a.m. StPat'sPalatine.com to find out more about that. What are you recommending this weekend, Ella?
We've got a Just Dance live at the Aeon Grand Ballroom at Navy Pier, Sunday at 2 p.m., $45 at JustDanceLive.com, and it's a celebratory show of the game's characters, costumes, and dance moves.
Violetta, go.
The Flower and Garden Show going on at Navy Pier, $17 tickets for adults, $5 for kids, and you can get them at ChicagoFlower.com.
Lala tickets go on sale Tuesday at Lala.com. They're going to do it August 2nd through the 5th at Grant Park this year. Lala tickets on sale Tuesday, Lala.com. Your turn, Elif.
Save Money, Save Life. It's a fundraiser concert which will be featuring Vic Mensa, Jamila Woods, and a special guest who I have a good guest for. And it's going to be at Lincoln Hall tonight at 10. 18 plus tickets, $30 to $150 at lh-st.com.
Violetta, go.
Let's see. We have the annual 46th Maple Syrup Festival going on in Northbrook. That sounds like fun. I don't think you go and get your own syrup, but...
No, I think you do. I think you walk around with waffles and you dip it in all the different syrups.
Yeah, that sounds amazing.
That's my kind of festival. By the way, The Enemy of the People is opening Monday at the Goodman Theater. Ibsen's timely drama, Chris Jones said. I haven't seen his review yet. I don't think he's reviewed it. It opens Monday. If you're into that, and the Goodman Theater, goodmantheater.org. They spell it theatra, goodmantheatra.org. It's 2:43. Those are some of our recommendations for this weekend. And by the way, speaking of recommendations for the weekend, this was brought to you by our friends at Private Vista. Visit myprivatevista.com. Then I was going to read a commercial for them, and I'll be darned if I can find it. Mm-hmm, stand by. Might be here. That's not it. Ah, found it. Found it. Do we have a final on that Wichita State game, by the way, kids? Anybody watching Wichita State?
Yes, the officiating reviews continue to win.
Are you kidding?
No, there's 16 seconds left, essentially, still 5-point game. Wichita State kept throwing up like long threes instead of trying to get two and then rely on the three later. So,
don't you hate it when they're down two possessions and they go for the long shot first? Get the first basket.
Yeah, and they were kind of like, you know, desperate shots, too, so... I don't quite get
that. That makes me crazy too, Steve.
It's pretty much over now. Looks like Wichita State lost the ball to Marshall, so 11 seconds left, 5-point
This
game.
Is a 13-4. This is a 13-4. Marshall's the 13 and is about to put Wichita State away. We've been looking at fun things to do this weekend. Time for The Bright Side, sponsored by the Joint Relief Institute. We always do The Bright Side with a little song, and it goes like this.
Some things in life are bad.
Call me now.
They can really make you mad.
312-981.
Other things just make you swear and curse.
7200, we want to hear your good news.
When you're chewing on life's gristle.
Can be a big thing, can be a little thing.
Grumble.
What's making you smile? We call it the bright side.
This'll help things turn out for the best.
But first, we sing the song. Always.
Always look on the bright side.
Then Marcia whistles.
Always look on the light.
Hi, Ms. Lyles. What's your bright side? What's some good news in your world, my friend?
Well, nothing too major, but I did get to binge watch a Netflix series last night, 7 Seconds. I didn't plan on doing it, but oh my gosh.
You got into it and then you couldn't get out.
I couldn't get out.
7 Seconds. I don't know that show.
Yeah, Regina King stars in it.
Pretty good?
Yeah.
Violetta, what's your good news in your world? Why are you smiling today?
Well, I'm just wishing my grandma a safe flight back to Serbia. She leaves today, and I'm going to miss her, but I'm happy to see her go back home where she likes to be.
How about you, Steve Bertrand? What's some good news in Bertrand land?
My son Noah is on his way home from Miami, Ohio for spring break. I'm sure he's listening right now.
Yeah. To his music.
Yeah, that's what's on those buds, Dad. I promise. I'm listening to you on the app. Trust me, Dad. Trust me. I'm listening to the show. My bright side, it's the best weekend of the year. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Buckaball, buckaball, buckaball. And White Sox baseball in 9 minutes here on WGN. Here's some phone calls. We start with Susan. You're on WGN. Why are you smiling today, Susan?
Well, I just found out about a month ago that we're going to have our first grandchild, and I'm just tickled to death. Seems jolly
rotten. I'm happy for you, Susan. Thanks for the call. This is Ray. This is John. You're on WGN. What's your bright side, Ray?
Well, like most of the people in Hampshire, Illinois, we're all excited that the chicken dip is finally opening for the season.
Is it ice cream and chicken at the chicken dip?
Pretty much, yeah. Always
look on the right side. You can text to 312-981-7200. Marcia reads them. What have you got?
Elaine from Grand Rapids. I just retired after being an RN for 40 years. I love being at the bedside, but it's time for me. That's right.
Enjoy. This is Carl. You're on WGN. Carl, why are you smiling today, Carl?
Hey, John. How you doing?
Good, man.
I had a tech of the norovirus, BKA, the stomach flu, at the beginning of the week. John, I am feeling so much better now. The darkest hour has turned into the finest hour. Bug around, Johnny Williams. Bug around.
Always look on the light side of life.
Marcia, give me some good news.
Wow, from 331, a young man cried when I offered him a job this afternoon. He was so happy, and it was the absolute best way to end my week.
When you're feeling in the dumps.
Hey, Brad, it's John Williams. You're on WGN. What's your bright side, Brad?
Hi, John. Today's my 27th wedding anniversary and still in love.
Marcia, read another text for us.
All right, 773, we welcomed a healthy granddaughter last Saturday on her cousin's 3rd birthday.
Debbie, you're on WGN. What's your bright side? What's making you smile today?
Tomorrow is St. Patrick's Day. I'm Irish, and I love it.
Tomorrow?
Enjoy it.
We're all Irish. Hey, I'll be broadcasting live up until 11:30. Then they dye the river. I'm going to hustle over there and watch it, too. I'm looking forward to that. Weather's supposed to cooperate. Sunday's supposed to be great. Hey, Candy, this is John. You're on WGN. What's your bright side, Candy?
Hi, John. We just moved to Richmond, Virginia about 3 months ago, and I listen to WGN on Echo every day.
Candy, we miss you. Thanks for tuning us in, and thanks for using that smart device. And just say, well, I'll get to the ID here in a second.
When you're feeling in the
Marcia, you got another one for us?
Sure, 269. Tomorrow we get to celebrate the wedding of our friend Peggy and her Irish man, Martin.
All right for them. Hey, Bob, this is John. Why are you smiling today, Bob?
Yeah, John, I'm smiling. I had to put my best friend dog down 2 weeks ago, and I just replaced him with a puppy, and she's a little sweetheart.
That's tough, isn't it, man?
Putting the dog down is miserable, but Susie's helping me out.
What kind of dog is Susie?
It's a golden doodle. Oh, she's a little sweetie pie.
Read another bright side, Marcia.
708. My bright side is that my wife is coming home today from a 10-day trip to Ireland. It's the longest we've been apart, and it's almost the longest that we've had. Oh, never mind. I'll leave that part out.
Yeah, it's the old, what's the second thing you're going to do? This is Diane. Diane, you're on WGN. What's your bright side? You're on the air. Diane. I don't hear Diane. We're going to go from Diane to Patty on line 7. Hey, Patty, it's John. You're on the air. What's your bright side?
My bright side is my one-year-old granddaughter is in remission as of last Friday.
Boy, that's a sentence that should not have to be said, but I'm glad you get to say it. Hooray, Patty. Thanks for the call. All right, Marcia, your turn.
All right, 630, my neighbor, a young mother of two, she's undergoing strong chemo treatment for breast cancer and was told the tumor has shrunk 50%, so her surgery won't be as disfiguring as originally thought.
That's the glasses half full. That's the bright side. Hey, Dan, you're on WGN. Why are you smiling?
Hey, John.
Hey, Dan.
I was looking into retirement. Hello.
Yep,
can you hear me?
Yeah, you're on the air.
Okay. I was looking into retirement and found out I could become an Irish citizen through Ancestry. So in the last year, I achieved dual citizenship, and this will be a very special St. Patrick's Day.
How about that? I thought he was going to say, and now I'm paying less in taxes because I'm an Irish citizen. Oh, that would be a bright side. 1 minute left, says LF, so we got time for maybe one call and one bright side. Marcia, you go.
All right, happy birthday to 708, Peter in Salk Village. Sunday, I complete another orbit around the sun. That's my birthday. Happy birthday.
And finally, Helen, you're on WGN. Why are you smiling, Helen?
I'm smiling because my right hand is severe arthritis, and I'm just driving home from the doctor. She gave me a cortisone shot, which should take care of it for about 6 months. But the best thing is they have to freeze it to give you the shot. So right now, I'm not in pain at all.
We do this on Fridays. You call in, tell us some good news in your world while you're smiling, and we smile with you.